It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Welcome everybody. I can't believe it. The last Friday of the second month of the year. And busy people, I don't know, it just goes faster and faster. And because I'm getting older, that's another problem. But, you know, that's my problem. Welcome to Rural Matters. Hope everybody's doing well. And spring seems to be around the corner. Day's getting a little longer. And I'm optimistic that as we get into March, we're going to have lots of things to be excited about here. Today, I'm really pleased to bring a mom and daughter in, Jen and Jesse DeYoung from Salem. And they are, I've got to say, with the name like DeYoung, spelled capital D, lowercase e, space J-O-N-G, rang bells to me. Jen, that's a Dutch name.
It is very Dutch.
Are you Dutch, Jen?
Only by proxy.
You're by proxy, but you know what? You're in good company because my parents came from Holland, and we're more of the elite Dutch people. We're the Frisian Dutch people, so and we would argue that, but not today. Jen and Jesse, 15 years old, welcome to Rural Matters, and you're the focus of the program because, Jesse, you're in 4-H, and you train dogs. So, Jesse, welcome to the program. Talk a little bit about yourself and why you got into dog training. Go for it.
Well, my dog and I weren't always working together, but we started when I was about 9 years old because we wanted to enter agility competitions because that was my first interest. And we found a neighbor who had a course on her land, so we started practicing there and she gave me lessons for free. So we started getting better at that. That was our first love. And later we entered 4-H.
Right on.
So that was obedience and this thing called rally, which is kind of like a maze of obedience. Yeah. And showmanship, which is also called confirmation. And so in that, we have had to put in a lot of training and go to 4-H every week for, let me see, about 4 or 5 years now.
Wonderful. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about you and your dog. Let's start with the dog's name and the breed and
yes.
The age. Let's dog has a name, right? Let's
yeah, hear it. That might be important.
Yeah, it is. Come on, we want to know. So Lassie, or what'd you do?
Yes. So her name is Annabelle. She's a yellow lab golden retriever mix.
Beautiful.
And she just turned 10 years old and still acts like she's 3. She is, even though she's a lab golden, she hates water and she hates baths. And she doesn't know how to swim. And she loves food.
I like food.
Yeah.
So we're in good company there.
Yes.
All right. So when did you, I mean, you obviously got started at it 6 years ago. What got you wanting to train dogs? And by the way, Annabelle, is this your first dog or second? Or where are we at with that?
She is my first dog. She started off as a family dog, but I took over her training when I was about 9.
Okay. And so talk a little bit about it. You guys go to Polk County, right?
Yes.
Okay, talk a little bit about training your dog and getting it ready for, like, the Polk County Fair. Do you do other fairs as well?
We've gone to the state fair for about 3 times so far.
Do you get nervous when you're doing that? I mean, do you and your dog sit down and you give a little pep talk?
Or
does mom step in? And go,
no.
Like, what do? How does that work?
Well, she is very unpredictable, but we have an understanding. We understand each other. So I know when she's stressed out, she knows when I'm stressed out, and we have to know what each other's thinking in order for the training to work well. So when I have the food, she works on, if I have food, she works on listening to me for food. But over the last couple of years, we've been working on making her, we've been working on training with just praise.
Right on.
Which has really increased her overall obedience, because that's what she thrives on the most, is praise and having fun with me. And that's also helped me a lot with her training.
Are you having fun with this, Jesse? Do you enjoy this?
Oh, yes.
Great.
I love
good.
It.
Tell me your favorite things about it. What really gets you excited about training Annabelle?
One of my favorite things is that every time you want to train Annabelle something, it's kind of like a logic puzzle, which I love logic puzzles. So each thing that you want to train her, where it's a healing maneuver or if it's a trick, you have to think up a different method to train her. And I love that part of figuring out how that's going to work for her.
Awesome. I'm going to give you a little break here, Jesse, and bring Mom into the picture. Hey, so what's it like to be a 4-H mom and being involved in this? And what do you like to see going on, Jen, as far as 4-H in general and watching your daughter? And do you have other kids involved, by the way?
No, Jess has two older siblings, and one got married last summer, and the other one's graduating from George Fox this May. So Jess is our last one.
And what does 4-H mean to you?
4-H has, as I've watched my daughter, well, we homeschool. And so we've always been about, what do our kids need? What are their passions? What are their gifts? And how can we cultivate those? And Jess, just really seeing her young, just really wanting to train and be in the dog world, like, how can we do that? And 4-H has been a huge springboard for that. And it has, she can be more on the quiet side. And 4-H has really brought her to life. It has really helped her find her voice, because Annabelle needs her voice. And so she has found her voice through training her dog. And, you know, Annabelle has a gift of just being able to be trained pretty much in anything. She is very trainable. And so just seeing Jess work with her and talk with her has just brought such joy and life to my daughter.
That's beautiful. You know, you and I were visiting Jen, Jesse, too. You weren't a 4-H person, but you guys are from northwestern Washington, Linden area,
yeah,
up there. And your husband was in 4-H. Talk about that a little bit. You can even mention his name. That'd be all right.
My husband, Nathan, yeah, he was in 4-H for a few years. His parents, Gail and Marge DeYoung, his dad was a veterinarian, and so they had cows. And so him and his three sisters, they were showing their dairy cows. And I remember our families grew up together, so I remember going to the Linden, Washington Fair and watching him show his cows, and all dressed in white.
yeah. You know, getting back to you, Jesse, you know, your dad's showing probably like these big black and white Holsteins or jerseys or whatever you guys had up there at the time. You are dealing with an animal that can have a mind of its own. Do you feel a little vulnerable when you're in front of people and you're competing against other people who've got their dogs as well? How do you feel? How do you put your game face on, Jesse, and maintain your composure so that your dog sees that you are in control so that you will control it? How's that work?
Well, a lot of people think that it depends on how much training you put into the dog is how well it performs, but that's not necessarily true with the dog with Annabelle's personality. She has a lot of training. We work together for over 2 hours per day, but she still has a high level of anxiety, which comes out during competitions. But the problem, if I do make like I'm in control of her, that makes her even more anxious. Okay. So the key is working together and having fun together.
And you have fun doing this.
Oh, yes.
What's up? You know, we've got less than a minute, Jesse. Your golden lab, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
What's up? Are they the best animals to train compared to, say, German Shepherd or a Sheltie? I mean, do you got the best breed to train or different dogs, different things? What's been your experience on that?
I've never really put a whole lot of training into any other dog, but from what I've seen, Annabelle is definitely the best.
Yeah? This is fun because my daughter loves dogs, and I told her I'm going to be talking to a dog person today. And so she's given me a list of questions that I'm going to ask you as we go through this, and they'll all be ones that you can answer. We're with Jen and Jesse DeYoung. We're going to talk 4-H, and we're talking dog training. And this is Jake, Rural Matters. Hang on. Back after this. See you in a minute.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, hope you're having a glorious Friday. And if this is the end of your work week, I hope that it's been a successful one because we're about success here. And our door is wide open. Come on in. As I said earlier, spring is coming. Really excited to have Jen and Jesse DeYoung. Transplants from the great state of Washington. So I guess I got to ask, you're not too far from Seattle. You guys Seahawk fans, or does that matter to you guys at all? I'm going to just throw that out. Mom, how's that work for you guys?
We are soccer fans, so we are still Seattle Sounders.
Seattle Sounders, that's all right. Jesse, talking about your dog, and you got it when you guys were still in Washington. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to talk to somebody that's listening today, whether it's a mom or dad, or even someone your age at about 4-H level. What does it take to train a dog? And in your mind, in your experience, because you've been doing it a while, what's a good breed?
Well, it depends on the trainer's personality, not necessarily the dog's personality. So Annabelle is a good fit for me because she is very forgiving and she is also very tolerant, and she loves to learn and I love to train. So I would say for anyone who wants a beginning training dog, I would go with like more of a lab or retriever breed because they're easygoing and fun. And they are also versatile, meaning you can enter them in a lot of different things. My dog Annabelle likes agility. She likes to sniff. She likes to do obedience rally, showmanship, etc. And she loves tricks also.
Talk about it. Talk about some of the tricks. I'm curious about that. Can you do that, Jesse?
Well, Annabelle knows over 100 tricks, and some that she knows are the standard ones, of course, roll over, play dead, sit pretty, and shake. But she also knows how to load up a basket, carry a basket, unzip my jacket, take off my slippers.
Fetch the newspaper? Oh, we don't get newspapers anymore.
She would probably eat the newspaper before she would bring it to
me.
That's
what our dog would do.
Yes.
Paper shredder.
She does know how to open a mailbox and an oven and a fridge. She also knows how to unroll a yoga mat and blow bubbles in a bowl of water, flip over said bowl, and so many other things.
You know, Hunter, I'm thinking this dog is already smarter than me. This is amazing. And, you know, 2 hours a day. Now, you're homeschooled, as your mom said. And so with this, and as you go into, I assume you're going to be ready to go when the fair season opens up this summer, right? Are you planning on, you know, even taking this with 4-H and looking at any type of a career with dogs, Jesse? What do you like to do outside of that, or is there a way to incorporate the two? This dog sounds amazing.
She definitely is. And as far as a career goes, I'm not entirely sure of what I would want to do, but I do know that I would like to do something in the realm of training. Being there are so many things that you can train a dog, I don't know exactly what that would be yet.
Have you won any awards, Jesse? How's that gone? I'm going to bring it up gently, but you know, let me ask this: when you are at the, like, say, the Polk County Fair, how many days and how do qualifying things work? How do you tell which dog is number one, two, or three? How does that work?
Well, as far as awards, if you go into the room in my house and look at my left wall, then you'll see two racks full of ribbons and a shelf of trophies. And as far as ranking goes, it really depends on what sport you're in. So, like, for confirmation, the judge is judging you on, number one, the handler's appearance and the dog's appearance. And for 4-H, it's not as strict as regular confirmation, because regular confirmation is based on judging the breed according to its breed standard. And in 4-H, it's mostly focusing on the handler and the knowledge of the dog. So that's also one of my favorite things about 4-H, is you have to learn and memorize a bunch of dog stuff to know an answer at the fair.
What would one or two of those be? What would that be?
Like, how many teeth does a dog have?
Right on.
And what specific dog group does this one breed belong to?
Okay, so you're in competition. Let's say you're in the right in the middle of it, day number two or whatever. Are you lined up with, say, three other dogs and with whatever the coordinator in charge is and says, what is the competition? Is it just one-on-one, or are there three other dogs next to you? How does this work?
Well, for the fairs, there's usually a few different clubs. So there's usually maybe about five dogs in your class, maybe more. And you get lined up on how big your dog is and how fast they are. So, it really, really depends.
Sure. Are you nervous when this happens? I mean, I would be. I mean, this is quite a bit. You put in so much time. Somebody that's listening to you and they say, well, I don't have a very big backyard, or I don't know if I can afford to get into this. Can they go to, let's say, the Humane Society and get a dog? Granted, you got to be careful there. But talk to somebody that would like to do this, but they're not sure they have the means. How does that play out, Jesse? And maybe, Jen, maybe you want to throw your hat in on this one.
Well, if you get a rescue dog, those tend to be actually really great companion dogs, because they take a bit of training as far as reactivity, but they do usually come to love the person who has adopted them. And if you don't you don't need a big backyard for working on training and stuff, because you can go to, like, a park or something and work on your healing or work on your obedience with them. And as far as 4-H, it doesn't cost very much to get into 4-H, and there's no continual fees.
That's awesome. All right, Mom, Jen, let's bring you in a bit. What does it mean to you to see your daughter doing this? And what kind of growth have you seen in both Jesse and the dog, Annabelle?
Where do I start?
Wherever you want to. We got 2 minutes. So go for it. And we'll continue it on the other side. My show, I can do that.
Well, Jess has one of the main things that she, 4-H just has built so many skills: resiliency, compassion, empowerment, finding her voice. But really, resiliency and her adaptability has really been strengthened through 4-H, because competition does, you know, when training meets personality in a dog, sometimes personality trumps. And so sometimes you're going to bomb a trial. And so she has had to work through disappointment, no matter how much training has gone in, no matter how much practice they've done. And she's had to bounce back. And she's had to look Annabelle in the eyes and say, I love you. And, you know, you did great. I know you tried your best. And for both of, and for her to analyze herself as a handler and what she could have done better, what went well, what didn't go well, and implement that for next time.
Awesome. You know, I admire you guys. I've been able to take Rural Matters to Polk County and Marion County Fair 2 summers in a row. And also, like I mentioned, Hunter and I did a rodeo towards the late summer. I did one with Hunter and the other one with the station manager to see you young people from, you know, and I say young people from, you know, early 20-ish all the way down to 8. So purposed, so focused, and so alive with what you're doing, because it is a commitment. It's a big commitment, not only for you, your animal, your dog, Annabelle, but mom and dad, too, to make sure that you get everything going right. Jess and Jen DeYoung, 4-H'ers, particularly Jesse, Jake, Rural Matters. We'll be right back. Back half program after the news.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
Jake, Rural Matters, back half, quickest hour of my life. And I say that every week because I have hours in my life that aren't. And so this is great. Jen and Jesse DeYoung, Jesse, 4-H gal. And we're talking about training. We're talking about all of the work that you put in. We're going to get a little bit more into that. But let's talk about careers for dogs. We were talking about that. Can you talk about that? Because it seems to me it's a wide open field between fire, police, military, entertainment. Just take over there, Jesse.
There are so many things that you can do with dogs, which I got to taste a little bit of the field in my 9th grade school year with homeschool, and we got to go around and job shadow a bunch of different careers. We job shadowed a arson dog and a dog portrait artist. We volunteered with a search and rescue team in Polk County, and we volunteer still with them, and also at the airport with their bomb detection dogs. And we volunteered with some professional trainers and got to watch them work. And it's just so cool to see all the different things that dogs can do and all the gifts that they have and how humans can use that to better our lives.
What would Annabelle be? If you, you know, what kind of, would she be a service dog, or would she be an arson sniff dog? What do you think Annabelle would be, Jesse?
She's a lot of things. She's can be a therapy dog when she wants to be, but she doesn't have the temperament for a library dog, that's for sure. She has an amazing nose, so she could sniff out anything that we trained her to sniff out. She could also be a performing dog and perform her tricks for audiences, which she already does.
Talk about those. Talk about some tricks.
Well,
and performance.
Yes, we have mostly performed for virtual audiences, but
sure.
We have performed for a couple of live ones, or a few live ones, actually. Those tricks that she knows depends on what I can, that I know what I can teach her, because some that she would just not want to do, specifically like handstand.
Right. Yeah.
But there's only a few tricks that I think she doesn't like, and the rest of them, like she can jump over my back, and she can jump through my arms, and she can what else?
Oh, that's fine. Let's talk a little bit about school Jesse. You're homeschooled, you know, and you've got a big 4-H project here. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. What are some of your favorite subjects right now? What do you see yourself really enjoying as far as what you're learning through homeschooling with your mom and dad and the network that you guys are involved in? What are some of your favorite classes? Because you strike me as someone that's very intelligent.
I do like in geometry, but
right, your ticket right now.
Yes. I also like as I said before, learning about logic and specifically in wilderness survival and how you can use your mind in order to create and build to survive. And I also like learning foreign language, Spanish.
Excellent choice there. And how are you doing in Spanish? How many years you been at it?
Just this year, and I still can't roll my R's.
Well, give it time. I mean, I grew up where my folks spoke Friesen Dutch, and then I spent my entire adult life on a dairy farm working with Spanish, so I speak dairy Spanish, but I've forgotten a lot of it. And I taught them to speak dairy English, so we're even there. Jen, being a homeschool mom, that's a lot. Talk about the commitment it takes and why you do it. You did it with your other two as well.
Yeah, it is. I have... I went to university, got my education degree in special ed and in general ed, and never thought I would use it to homeschool my own kids, but that's just the direction our family went. And I've loved it. Giving them what they need, what they want to learn, how they learn has been just very rewarding. And for Jess, you know, for 4-H, it's been a big part of her homeschool. I mean, it's huge, the amount of time and effort. I mean, like I said, 4-H has been a springboard. And, you know, she loves the county fairs and the state fairs, but it has branched off into nose work. They do that together. They compete in NACSW. So they're working on level 3 already, which is just amazing. And they're working up against all adult teams. Jess won't mention it, but I'm going to because I'm the mom and
100%.
I get to brag.
Yes, you do.
They have 2 national championships in trick dog, and they're working on their next routine, and she's teaching Annabelle a ton of tricks, new ones, and then, you know, they're working, 4-H every week. She is in another 4-H club. She does archery.
That's good for survival.
That is.
It's right on.
One of her electives is she mentioned a wilderness survival class, and so that's definitely part of it. And so supporting her, you know, it's 4-H has really helped her grow that way, like how to schedule all the stuff, getting it all on the calendar, time management.
Yeah.
When you get offers, like she just this week, she's getting offers to dog sit, and a judge contacted her and say, hey, do you want to be in my trial to help me out? And put in all these different experiences on the calendar.
This is amazing. Let's talk a little bit about Jesse, about your 4-H group. How many are in there? And it's different breeds of dogs? Or
yes.
And is there like group wins and individual wins? I mean, you guys are all rooting for each other, but yet, are you competing against each other as well? How does that work?
In 4-H, the main person that you're competing against is yourself.
Okay.
So you're constantly improving from the last year. And there are about 10 in my club, which is relatively small. But they range from dogs to schnauzer to a lab, and we all help each other out and give each other pointers, especially when it comes closer to fair time. We help each other with studying sometimes, and we all it's hard when you kind of when you come out better than some of your friends, but it's a learning opportunity for everyone. That's what I love about 4-H, is you can't not learn from anything that you do.
And when you win something, you really, it's legit. We're not talking about participation trophy kind of stuff here. I mean, we want to encourage people. We really do. But you're really competing. And this is something that has some real tangibility to it, Jesse, right?
Yes. Yeah, and anything and all of the classes that you enter, you get when you win something that you know you did, because there's definitely a few people, other people you're competing against. And you compete against fastest time and how many faults you get. And so you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get a fast time. You have to have fun with your dog and learn from it. But when you do that and you still manage to get perfect, that just makes it even better.
You have fun with that, right?
Definitely.
Do you take a big sigh of relief when, let's say, you're done with one of the county fairs and you go, all right, it's okay, right? You feel good about it? Yeah?
Yes,
you
definitely.
Should, right? You put so much time into it.
You can take a deep breath after county fair all the way up until state fair.
So you guys also do state fair as well?
Yes.
All right, we're going to have to talk about that here in a little bit. Jake, Real Matters with Jen and Jesse DeYoung. 4-H mom with 4-H daughter, dog training. Jake, Real Matters, hang on.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Real Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Real Matters back with you, and hoping you're having a great day as I am. We round off another week and we're close to finishing off another month. With us today, Jen and Jesse DeYoung, Jen being the mom and Jesse the 4-H daughter, dog trainer. Jesse, you're a busy gal. You're in two 4-H clubs, if I'm hearing you right, and now you're incorporating archery with your survival skills. Why have survival skills? What are you thinking? What's good about this, and why archery?
Well, it's surprising how many people die from getting lost every year. And if they had only had a few sets of simple survival skills, that could have been prevented. So it's also a very fun class to learn about all the different environments and different sets of skills you need for each environment, like in the desert, how to find water, and in the rainforest, how to find shelter. And so archery, obviously, is a way to help you find food. And it's also been something I've wanted to do for a while, and it's really, really fun.
So let's go back a little bit in time. We're talking about being able to read a paper map using a compass, and you know, your phone's not, it's not there. You're talking about the basic stuff and being able to use things that don't require energy.
Yes.
And so talk a little bit about that. Can you read a map? Can you read a compass? Are you that deep into it? And go with this a little bit. This is very interesting, Jesse.
I have not quite gotten to the map compass yet, but I've learned how to make a contraption to get fresh water from salt water using the sun, and which is one of the interesting things. And another interesting thing is how to dig for fresh water beside a stream, how to build a fire, a couple ways to make a fire without matches, which I haven't tested yet. But
is that coming up?
Yes, it
Do
is.
Do it on a rainy day. That would be a real challenge, right?
Yes.
Talk about it some more. What got you interested in this, Jesse?
I'm not really sure. I just chose it as one of my electives for 10th grade, and it was a lot more interesting and a lot more hands-on, which I appreciate, than a few of my other options.
Right on. So you said earlier that you really like logic. What do you find logical about survival training?
Well, the main thing when if you get lost in the wilderness is you have to be able to use your brain and not panic, and you have to be able to focus. You have to be watching your surroundings. You have to be watching for tracks, scat, broken mm-hmm. branches, all of these clues that nature gives you to be able to use it for your advantage or for your disadvantage. And so you need to be able to use the natural items around you and make cordage you need out of vines and roots, and you need to be able to recognize plants and what leaves or flowers of are not safe to eat or what ones you can use for medicinal purposes, and the list goes on.
Yeah, it does. So let's bring Annabelle into this mix. You and Annabelle are lost. What would she bring to the table for you, and what would you do for her?
She would probably, she could probably help me find way back to Trailhead with using her super nose.
Right on.
But if we were lost too deep in the woods for that, I would probably watch her body language for signs of danger, definitely. And because I can, like, if she perks up her ears and her tail or her hackles or anything to watch for danger, that would definitely be a key sign. And it would probably make things a little bit more difficult because you're going to have to build more shelter and find more water for two. But being she's a dog, she can probably ingest more things that I couldn't.
Oh, yeah. A little more forgiving on the intestinal end, huh?
Yes.
Yeah? All right. We've got a few minutes left, Jesse. Like I said, this year is going to fly by, and before you know it, we're starting to talk about fair season. What are you training? What are you working on right now as you prepare for the summer months for bringing Annabelle out with you and your club?
I am mostly working on having a good time and working on her attention on me instead of her surroundings is a big one because she's easily distracted. So working on the leave it command, and we're working on the here command, which is like if you're doing something, just come over here. And we're working on her up and perked up and happy when she's doing regular things like healing or doing recalls. And it's mostly just the foundational work before we actually start getting into more classes to fine-tune before the fairs.
Do you like your dog, Jesse? Annabelle, part of the family. I mean, is this your bud?
I love my dog. She's probably one of my best friends, probably
sure.
My best friend. And she loves me, and we're a team, and we couldn't grow without the other one, and it's just mutual relationship.
Real quick, any kind of wins that you expect to get, any best of this, that, or something else, or just the idea of taking her out with you and her just doing the shows?
Yeah, I don't expect to get anything, which is probably a good mindset to have.
Okay.
And I just, the main thing that I want to focus on is being calm and having patience and just enjoying the time that I get to spend with my bud.
That's wonderful. You realize that these traits really are going to bode well with you from every day forward, Jesse. That's the beauty of what you're doing with your family and your dog. Any other dogs in the household, or is this the lone act here?
Oh, no. No dog. No other dogs.
Yeah, contaminate the system, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Janet, I want to finish with you. We've got a couple of minutes. Talk about being involved as a parent, you and your husband, with Jesse and other kids as well. How important is 4-H?
4-H is really important. Anytime parents invest in their kids, it's You know, it's not only just an investment in their lives, but it's an investment in the community as well. And, you know, with, as time goes on, there's a breakdown in community. And 4-H really, if, you know, if kids are in there, they're hands-on. They're learning accountability. They're learning compassion. They're learning versatility and adaptability and so many good skills. And just working with their mentors. And, it is an investment in the future of community and learning what community is.
We got to keep it going, right?
Yeah,
it takes a bit. There's a lot going on there. You as a parent, what kind of how does your schedule work with like doing the county fairs and stuff? Obviously you've got to bring your daughter and the dog, or there's got to be a backing and forth thing and all of that. That's you're involved too.
Yeah, there is a lot of commitment. And we've been at this long enough where we have our systems in place, but we've had to build them. Jess has her lists of things. She's the one. That's a big thing with 4-H's responsibility. This is her, you know, working independence in her. So she knows for each competition what she needs to bring, gets it all loaded. We are the transport, yes, but, you know, a big part of my job is to make sure that their mental and their social is healthy. Are they getting their sleep? Are they getting their nutrition? Checking in with her. How are you doing? You know, do you need to talk about how that trial went? Just working, processing those things through.
It's quite the commitment. It's almost like some people are very deeply into athletics. And you guys are into the 4-H. Did any of your other kids do 4-H, Jen?
No.
So you're the one. Are your siblings rooting for you? Or do they give you a call and say, hey, how did it go? Or do they show up and watch you?
They do encourage me. And I will always love them for that. And they are kind of busy and they don't get to come to all of my shows. But I don't mind because it's easier to concentrate when there's less people around.
Oh, you don't want somebody like clapping for you? You have your one of your siblings sitting out there, you know? But you feel pressure if they're watching you. Is that what you're saying?
A little bit more.
Yeah, you're going to keep going. You got years to go yet, right? Hang in there with this.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm planning on working at it and making the best better until Annabelle just tells me she doesn't want to anymore.
You gonna let her do that? That'd be hard.
Yeah.
That'd be very hard. It's been fun, you guys. Jen and Jesse DeYoung, thanks for coming on Rural Matters, and the best of luck to you. I think we need to stay in touch and see how you're doing as we get into the summer. Jake, Rural Matters. See you guys next week.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.